Hey guys, let me try this again. Every time I deviate, I was trying to say, hey guys, hey everybody, how you doing? But it's like anytime I try something other than welcome back, I get tongue-tied.
You might as well stick.
I think you hit puberty actually at that one. Peter Brady.
Welcome back to I'm calling it a special episode of the Dan Time Podcast. We said we would do this right away for you. We'd get these guys back together, and right away on Dan Time, it can be anywhere from a couple weeks to a couple years, but it will happen. So luckily, we didn't have to wait too long to bring back Craig Bennett and Jack Spencer of the Peekskill Mugs, and Craig Bennett, of course, one of my longtime friends. I still can't believe how many years have rattled off since we've hung out and had a few pints together. But good friendship never dies, and it's so good to see him again. I hope you enjoyed the first episode. If you missed it, you've been listening to other podcasts. I mean, who could blame you? There's a couple million podcasts out there, so I'm just thankful that I've got any listeners. I think the Mugs feel the same way. If you're watching what they put out there, they're thrilled to have you, and likewise. But if you missed that first one, go back and check it out, get a little bit of background, and we'll dip back into it today. But without further ado, welcome back, Peekskill Mugs. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having us.
Doing great.
Like Dan was saying, he and I go back. I mean, what? When did you get hired at the Birmingham News?
So it was the summer of 06. So we're
06.
18 years, Craig.
18, yeah.
Sounds insane. I mean, like, let's just say 18 years ago, if I had just met the love of my life, I would be introducing you to, like, an 18-year-old kid right now.
Wow.
Like if I had started a family back then, that's how long it's been.
Sure. Man. And Dan, you and I go all the way back to August of this year. It seems like a lifetime, though.
I feel like I've known you a long time, too, Jack.
You know what? Agreed.
But I want to say, Jack and I, we get along so well that, Dan, you the way Jack and I rub off on each other, yeah, you would totally get it. That's why me and you get along. That's why we're all kind of the same person.
I want to say, you know,
a lot of issue
from watching
from what Craig and I get along like Tito's and soda.
Speaking of, oh yeah, so Dan, we're in Peekskill today, Peekskill Mugs. We're at one of our favorite places. It's called Peekskill Public. It's a nice little bar with a really good menu. I'm going to get wings soon. I might be eating wings when we talk. I don't know. But we hang out here. You know, we play a lot of darts. There's a pool table. Just, you know, very, very. Remember on tap?
Oh, yeah. Great times.
What was that, a bar down? Was that a bar in Birmingham?
Yeah. Dan and I lived close to each other, and that was our thing. After work, Hit on tap. Remember they had like 104 beers or something?
Wow. That's actually a great name for a pub.
On tap, yeah. It was a pretty cozy little establishment.
It was.
Yeah. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like the Peekskill Public. Very cozy. Very us.
I want to say tap, that particular on tap.
Wait, which one? The one in near...
The one that was off
they had the one in the shop in the strip mall, then they moved to the Galleria, right?
Yeah, and at one time they were both open at the same time, and then the flagship, I guess, became Charlie's Tap House.
Yes, Charlie's, that's right. Oh, my God.
But that particular bar, I remember that being basically just a watering hole. I think if there was a dartboard, I may have missed it. There was no pool table. You were there to do one thing. Or two things. And,
it was drinking.
Drinking and watching games.
I moved to Alabama December 30th of 2021, and I'm the Jets are playing the next day. So I stumbled upon this place on that. That was the place to go.
Yeah, the audio is folks, if you're listening to this episode, there is also a video version that may be a little more, a little easier on the ears.
So, Craig, I actually have a question for you, Craig. So, when you got out there in December of 2021,
2001,
yeah,
okay, you got out there and you found the bar, the tap house,
on tap,
and yep. you found the Jets game.
Yep. Well, they had the Sunday ticket or whatever it was.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
It was one of those, and I sat in the corner and watched the smallest TV. It was like a 13-inch TV, one of them old-school ones. And, yeah, and I met Dan, 5 years later. And, he and I, and then Chris, you talked to Chris last week, right?
Burmeister? Yeah, that was great. Burmeister?
What about Will? And Will, we created a monster there. We were... Aaron Burr couldn't be happier with us.
Yeah.
Anyone else on the planet. We got that shit done every minute. We worked like 12 hours a day getting this newspaper out.
Was that your last episode on Dan Time?
The most recent one, as we're recording, was Chris Furmeister. So he came back. He was actually on episode number 6 way back when I first started.
Sure.
August of 2023.
I caught the episode with your brother. Yeah. It was part 1 and 2?
Yeah, Travis.
Travis.
I want to meet Travis. He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
And a great dad.
Yeah, he is. He really is. Travis, we're maybe a little bit of yin and yang, as a lot of brothers are, or siblings.
Sure.
But we might seem like opposites to a lot of people, but when it comes to, he knows how to push my buttons and crack me up and vice versa. And I know Craig, with all his siblings, they probably know how to, you know just what to say, and you got those old jokes in the back pocket that you could bust out at any time from when you're 14 years old, and they still know what you're talking about.
That's right.
But
kind of like Craig watching that 13-inch TV. That was the size of the TV that he actually watched the Jets win their last Super Bowl. They didn't have large screen TVs.
They didn't have color TVs.
So like,
no, they had color TVs, but...
Craig was saying, and I forgot that he arrived in 01. So I was in Birmingham at the time, but, you know, it would be another 5 years before our paths crossed. But I think Craig told me, or maybe it was somebody else, there's a now defunct minor league hockey team, or maybe it's come back under a new name or new league, but the Birmingham Bulls. And
the Bulls.
I think some of
the
Bulls
Craig,
players.
The other Craig, his name is Craig, too. He played for the Birmingham Bulls.
I feel like some of those guys settled in on
guys.
That.
They were Buffalo Wild Wing guys. You definitely crossed paths with them.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that crew. Remember the Alabama Slammers? Were you there for the Alabama Slammers?
Yeah.
I got on the ice once, like during intermission, and I had to like do the hockey spin with the stick, and then shoot a goal. I won free tickets for like 3 games. I beat this guy. I don't know who it was. Good times.
Craig, I got to say, and you may not have listened to all the Will Grant pieces. I didn't know that there would be 3 parts to that, but he had a lot to say, and it's a very important time period of his life, and I just let him go, and it was great. And
good.
I think it's in part 3 where we really do the proper Craig Bennett tribute. I mean, we must have gone off in about 15 solid minutes just on Craig and how much we appreciated you at that time and your.
You guys were the best. We had quite the crew, along with Ken Casey, Steve Martin, Charles Hollis, David Knox, Amy, Dog Demons.
Dog Demons. So it just goes to show you, folks, if you're listening to the show, I've had now 3 guys. From that time period on the podcast, and friendships go a long way. Even if you only work with some people for me, it was like 2.5 years. So not a long time, but
sure.
Make those moments count. If you're in your mid-20s or your mid-30s and you're in a part in your life, it may not last forever. Just have some fun with the people you're with. You'll never know 10 or 15 or 25 years from now how special those memories are. So be present. Be
absolutely.
Yep. Go on and on.
Oh, I know. You know what, Dan? I absolutely agree. Like, I worked for the Metro North Railroad for 33 years, and those co-workers for 33 years, are still my best buddies. You know, we don't see each other as much because we, most of us retired, but we talk all the time.
Yeah.
And you're right. Friendships at work, very important.
And Jack, there's probably things that only you guys can talk about too.
Exactly. Like doing cocaine in the bathrooms.
What is that?
That happened.
So here's a segue. So Dan, you're a big baseball fan. World Series starts tonight. Who you got? My New York Yankees against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Craig, I'm thrilled with this matchup. As a Cub fan, I think as a baseball fan, if you're really into the game, this is a dream matchup. I'm not quite old enough to remember the mid to late 70s World Series between these two teams, but I did go back and watch like the 1950s matchups when it was the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Yankees.
Sure. That was 1947 was the first one. That was the first one that Jackie Robinson was in.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to say the Brooklyn Dodgers only picked off one of those World Series. It was like Yankees, and then one year the Dodgers. Yeah.
Like they've met 11 times. They've met 11 times so far, and the Yankees have won 8 out of the 11. Soon to be 9 out of the 12.
What I'm worried about as a Yankees fan. If your best offensive player right now is Mike Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton, the Dodgers have the pitching. The Yankees bullpen, which was always a strength, all of a sudden is not. But I will say one thing. It's going to be the most watched World Series of all time. With Ohtani bringing the Asian market and then Aaron Judge with the Yankees, it's going to be out of control.
Yeah, I think pitching is going to be something to watch in this series. I mean, every World Series you imagine to be kind of a pitch-by-pitch must-see event. But I really think that this is going to be something special, and particularly in – you know, I think that we'll see a lot of action in the fifth and sixth innings of some of these games, I think. And
I totally agree on that.
I can't wait to see how they approach. Yeah, like Stanton, how do you go after him in a hitter's count?
Do you think it's going to be a
blowing away?
Like the bullpen coming in, it's going to be a bullpen pitcher's duel.
I think if the Yankees can get to a bullpen offensively, they'll be okay. If they can get that starter out early, they can get to a bullpen. And I used to think the Yankees bullpen would shut people down. Right now, I don't see that. So it's going to be one of those, like, you don't want to see a guy like Ohtani getting up there in the eighth inning with a man on first and second, and the Yankees are up one run.
Right.
Yeah. It might be down two runs after that. Judge really needs to step up. Soto, Judge.
Soto might be the best baseball player today.
Well, he'll be the richest next year when he's a free agent.
Now, as we're talking today, game one is tonight. Can't wait to see how this plays out. Jack Flaherty. By the way, Jack, do you have a special affinity for the Dodgers starter tonight, just sharing the Jack connection?
I don't. I hope he gets crushed. I'm definitely a big Yankee fan, without a doubt.
Yeah. Except for Thurman Munson.
That's true. I'm not a fan of Thurman Munson.
God rest his soul.
You ever hear this? Fuck him. Can we say that? Sorry. He was probably a great teammate, but he wasn't really a great person.
Really?
Yeah, not from what I judged by him when I was 12 years old. Can I go into the story or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm 12 years old, and the Yankees used to have their Syracuse Farm League was in Syracuse, New York. So it was like the Syracuse Yankees. So I went there when I was 12 years old. All-star break, the Yankees team came up, Thurman Munson, Bobby Mercer, Roy White, all those guys, that team. So it had to be 73. Anyways, Thurman Munson was in front of the third base dugout, just like I was, like eight rows back, and we had a group of mentally handicapped children in front of us. And one of them liked Thurman Munson so much, he just kept on yelling his name. But he slurred it a little bit because he was handicapped. and Munson literally turned around and told the kid to shut the fuck up.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. So, Dan, August 2nd, 1979 is my favorite holiday.
Ooh, that's...
This is our last visit on the damn time.
No, hey.
No, but you know what, though? He was a great baseball player. He was a great captain. He was one of the best catchers ever. Just in that moment in time, he kind of pissed me off.
And I can see where that's a pretty vivid memory for you because...
Yeah, sure. I'm 12 years old, and I went there to see him as well. But to hear him say that to a mentally challenged kid wasn't good for my memory.
You saw it and heard it loud and clear.
Yep. And a lot of my friends, they don't believe that it happened, but it did. True story.
I can tell the way that you're relaying the story that you were there. I sold it pretty well to me.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's pretty natural, especially with public figures and athletes, if there's a tragic situation that you just want to romanticize everything about them. And sometimes you're just not everybody's such a sweetheart, but maybe a good ball player.
Exactly. You know what I learned yesterday from Bucky Dent on an interview on WABC Radio? Is Bobby Mercer and his wife was supposed to be on that plane with him.
Oh, wow.
Bobby Mercer chose not to go. Or we would have lost another great Yankee, Bobby Mercer. That would have been a real tragedy.
Now, just kind of an oddball question here. Are you afraid of flying, or is there anything that, like, travel? I remember Madden, he took the bus everywhere. He didn't like the flights.
I'm definitely not afraid of flying. Actually, I'm going to give you a little hint about flying. When you book your seats, get the exit seats in the exit row because every airline gives you free drinks.
Nice.
How the hell are you going to open up the gate for someone? Hey,
you know what? I don't know. I'm telling you, every time I booked an exit seat on any airline, JetBlue, American Airlines, United, doesn't matter. You're sitting in that exit row, you order a double Tito's, you're not paying. So just for all the listeners out there and doing on future trips, book the exit row.
Great pro tip from Jack.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, the last time I was on, Dan, the last time I actually was on a plane, this actually happened, whatever. I flew out to Las Vegas the first week in October to do a little bit of work. And true to their word, American Airlines didn't charge me for the six Tito's I drank.
Six doubles.
That did?
Or is that?
Yeah, three doubles.
Wow.
Dan, he's got nothing on us.
Jack, what
those
is...
Those days in ONTAP, forget it.
That was actually an interesting trip out to Vegas. It was actually a work vacation. Went out there to film a medical conference with our friend Mark Buckland, who owns webcasting.com, I guess you can say. But he videotapes... medical conferences, and this one happened to be out in Vegas. So I expected to go out to Vegas and enjoy Vegas, but nope, we're changing planes in Dallas, and I fall off the tram going to the other terminal, and I pull my thigh muscle. So I end up on a three-wheel scooter out in Vegas for the whole week.
They overserved them, too.
Smoking cigarettes, driving through the casino, drinking vodka.
Riding around Vegas on his little scooter.
So that was my trip to Vegas. Thank God I got paid for it.
Jack, do you like to gamble or parlay any games?
I don't. I'm not a big gambler. I used to be, but yeah. The last time I gambled and actually called a bookie was probably 1994.
Yeah.
And I lost $1,100 by betting the Bills. And it was a week before Christmas. There goes that fur coat for Kathleen. That didn't go over well.
Yeah.
So Dan, you think the Ravens are the team to beat in the AFC?
I think so. I mean, I really haven't been able to watch them every week. With the kids around, that's the thing. Like, if you're going to have multiple children, like I decided to do.
How old are your kids?
three and a half, and two and a half.
I decided to do.
Yeah, it just what?
No, you know what? It when you have you three children, they're gonna help you when you get older. Trust me. In and out of the wheelchair, in and out of the rehab center, old folks home, they'll be there for you.
Pick you up just, off the tram in the parking lot outside the bar.
What was the name of the bar again?
I don't know.
On Tap.
Oh, On Tap. On Tap, yeah.
On Tap.
Great place.
Absolutely. Now, will they be showing the Alabama-Missouri game there tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I bet. Sure, yeah.
Are they still in the Galleria?
The last time that I went there, I was up there visiting in 2015. So I've been down in Pensacola since 2013. Yeah. That was the last time I walked in there.
Yeah, man. You know what? Like my niece, she's a junior at Alabama. Other niece is a sophomore at South Carolina. And they all went down to Tuscaloosa for the game. I didn't. You know what? I'm regretting it right now because they stayed right in the hoop.
And how'd that game go?
It was ugly, but Alabama won, sort of. It was an ugly game. It definitely
won. Alabama won. You know what? Yeah, Alabama's not the same roll, tie, roll team that I know. Because didn't last week they lose to Vanderbilt?
A couple weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Last week they lost to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. And now they're going to lose to Missouri
tomorrow.
That's another tough game.
Yeah.
They're almost like playing for the Jets.
I mean, it might be the first Iron Bowl coming up in recent memory where neither one of the teams is in the top 10. Could be. Because I think we're number 15 now.
That would be crazy. Dan, did Craig tell you about him and I's adventure to Jet Life Stadium and go watch the Bills and the Jets play?
So I was watching the last episode.
Oh, you were? So, yeah.
This is like a tradition for Craig, but it's your third Jets-Bills game?
It is.
With Craig?
Yep.
Third and last.
Craig, how many?
But I predicted the score of Bills 24, Jets 21, and it ended up being 23-20. With the Bills winning. So, a little different from a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was the fourth play.
The fourth Rodgers play.
Yeah.
And then that rookie returned that punt for a touchdown in overtime.
Yep. And my mouth went just like this. Oh. What just happened?
Yeah.
Craig, how old were you, Craig, the first time you saw a game there, a Jets game?
Shea Stadium, I was three.
Wow.
That's
really
Washington, Queens. I was 3 years old. My dad had tickets forever. He still does. But yeah. They brought me down for some reason.
And how old are you right now, Craig? 48?
49.
So you've been a Jeff fan for 46 years.
Unfortunately, yes.
How's that working out?
I don't know. It's almost like child abuse. My family made me do it.
That's true. But at least you went to a game when you're 3 years old.
Look, my dad would let me and Kyle go in the stadium at 5 and 6 years old, 2 hours before, with no adult supervision. I knew every four-letter word in the book, what weed smelled like, what it tasted like, what beer smelled like, what it tasted like. So I wouldn't trade it for anything because it's such a family tradition. Even though I don't go to as many games anymore, it's still a family tradition.
Yeah. You know what? Which is great. You know what? Not many families can actually say that they've been going to games for 46 years as a family together.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Jack.
I think it's
why we're so stubborn.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan. I did get to go up to Buffalo and watch the Bills-Tennessee game.
Oh, yeah. I heard you were just in Buffalo.
So I went right from Jet Life Stadium right up to Buffalo Bills Stadium on the following week to watch the Bills cross the Titans. Jet Life.
Jet Life.
Isn't that the name of the stadium?
No, MetLife.
MetLife.
No, it's Jet Life because the Giants play there, but the Giants suck. So it's the Jet Life Stadium.
All right.
Because I just heard a Jet fan here in the background of the bar, and he says, my new team is the Ravens. So, obviously.
Who is that, Mitch?
That would be Mitch.
He's a Giants fan.
I mean, I thought.
I don't know.
I thought Harbaugh was on the hot seat after the going into week
three. But that game was pretty good, though. The Ravens game?
Yeah, I mean, that was, back at the end of September, you know, it was the first time we were 1-3 in 10 years. Yeah. I don't know. Really turned it around. I think we're at the best rushing offense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry is a beast.
That was it.
Yes, he is.
Out of control. Out of control.
Yep.
He's 250, 30 years old, and he still keeps running people over, running for 160 yards a game.
Yep. Now, Dan, are you part of any fantasy football leagues?
Yes. So I only play in one league right now, and it's like a friends league that dates back to 2004, and I've been a member since 06. So usually I'm one of the laughing stocks, me and there's another guy that's been around a long time. We've never won a title, but I just happen to be in first place right now.
Nice.
I'm 6-1, and I actually wanted to get yours and Craig's opinion on a trade that I just completed.
Okay. Go ahead.
Last week.
We're going to let Craig answer first.
All right. I traded away Breece Hall and Dalton Kincaid, tight end for your Buffalo Bills, Jack, for...
I know him well.
T. Higgins.
Yeah, you've never met him.
For two Maybe. Wide receivers, T. Higgins and Davante Adams. And I got laughed at. By not the whole league, but a couple guys said, what are you doing trading away your number one pick, Hall? And I said, well, I've won
in
five straight.
First place?
Yeah, I lost in week one, and then I've won six in a row. And, I mean, Hall's been a piece of that, but he's not been the reason that I've won.
All right, Craig, what do you think of that trade?
It's a little tough, but.
I know wide receivers are the premium in fantasy football now. Remember we used to write fantasy articles?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the best?
Yes. I missed that.
You even write fantasy, you get your name in there, fantasy baseball articles. Oh, my God.
If Tom Ehrenberg sent me an email just to my personal email and said, hey, Dan, don't ask me why, but could you write me a fantasy corner deadline tomorrow at 8 o'clock, just email it. I would get cranking on it, Craig.
That's great. All right.
For that trade, wide receivers are more important, but Breece Hall catches six passes a game.
He hasn't had a really good season so far.
One of the reasons I was comfortable doing it with Adams coming over in that trade.
Exactly.
Recently. So
basically, you traded away Breece Hall for Davante Adams, really.
Yeah.
And you got a good pickup with Higgins. And you know what? Kincaid, yeah, he's hit or miss. He's a tight end. He's going to score 7 points a game, maybe, you know, especially now that the Bills right now just picked up Cooper.
Amari Cooper. Yeah.
So he scored for the first time last week in his very first game. He scored like an 18-yard touchdown. And as he's standing on the line, we're all watching, and the kid, the rookie Coleman, literally looks over to his right and tells Amari Cooper which route to run. He didn't know the play.
He didn't know the plays yet.
Wow.
He's only been on the team for 2 days, but he scored a touchdown.
Craig,
and the Bills went on to win 34-10.
I do agree with Craig. Or I think, listening to the last episode that you guys did, that receivers are kind of by nature a little more flighty and
mm-hmm.
prima donnas to some extent. Not all of them, but I looked at these guys, Higgins and Adams, and neither one of them have really hit their stride yet. But I thought, I'm just betting on the second half of the year.
Sure.
I've really benefited, so I draft.
That makes sense.
Jalen Hurts was we do one keeper. So Hurts was my keeper from last year, and I picked up Baker Mayfield as an undrafted free agent, and he quickly became my starter. So I've had Mayfield there's only one QB one, and then Fairbairn, the kicker, and then the defenses that I've been able to pick up. Those have really provided a bulk of my points.
Sure.
Fairbairn's a toss. Who's
your defense?
I've alternated with Minnesota and Pittsburgh in a 10-team
league.
That's
a good choice.
Yeah, we're not
doing well.
Like, some leagues are 12 or 10 teams, so there's a little bit more out there. But
so what do you think of a keeper league? I like it.
Yeah, I think it makes it fun.
I liked it until this year because my keeper this year was Anouk. And how's he doing?
Anouk.
Ayuk, whatever it is. The wide receiver for the 49ers. He broke every body part.
Yeah.
He's out for the year, right?
He is. So my other choice for my keeper was Derrick Henry. And I chose not to keep him.
I might have talked you out of that, actually.
You know what? Craig actually talked me out of that pick.
That's why I don't do fantasy anymore. I got burned out, Dan.
Oh, you know, don't play anymore?
Aaron Berg called me in, and he looked at me, pen in his mouth. You want me to make you famous? I said, what? You want to write a fantasy football column? I said, fuck yeah. It's all
right. Actually, there's a
Craig. You're writing columns every day.
I remember that column, Craig. That should have ran in USA Today. Craig's stardom set him. It was like ride the pine
Him
shine.
Show him the pine.
He will shine or
he show will him shine. The show him the pine.
Yeah, I remember.
I still have a lot of those articles in my sister's attic, but I lost a lot of them.
I used to keep. Hey, Craig, when we would get like the Dixie edition, which and Birmingham News parlance was. The first edition, we would get that one. They say hot off the press. It was really like wet off the press. It'd take a few minutes to dry. But I would take a lot of those papers home, and I didn't throw them away for a while. And I think I stuffed them in boxes. But I kept a lot of, like if I had something in there, a hot corner or something else I wanted to keep, like I held on to those. I still think I probably have a good bit of Craig's material in print.
Yeah, just think about that. Me and you were getting bylines in this newspaper. There's like a 300,000 subscription. We were famous. Here's me with young kids. I had a picture in the freaking paper with that long hair I had. Hey. Who is Will Grant?
Who is Will Grant? Craig, so I didn't think I was going to mention this, but maybe I'm comfortable doing it now. That night... I forget the name of the bar, but I had an altercation. I didn't start, but
didn't get along.
Finish it
it's
either.
Crustacean.
Yeah. Summer of 2008. It was a big league player on a rehab assignment and two minor leaguers. Actually, and the two Barons players, they had nothing to do with any of the physical altercation.
Yeah, that crustacean.
I don't think so, but so I'll just say it. Bobby Jenks. Probably, and I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail, but because it's been so long ago and everybody was liquored up, but I remember sitting there at the bar talking to Jenks, and I'm a big Cubs fan, and he's with the White Sox. And I don't remember ever getting really sloshed and becoming a smartass with people.
No, but I remember the whole night. You and I were there, and somebody else was with us. But Bobby Jenks, he's like, oh, I'm a major leaguer. I'm an all-star. So he was trying to buy these girls drinks, but they wanted nothing to do with them. They were sitting near us. And that's when he went along.
I was so, Jack, I was there. I'm remembering now. I was there with a female. We weren't dating, but we were... Have you ever like been running around with a lady, a young lady, at some point in time on the Jack Spencer timeline and the nightlife?
Yes, and I've done that.
You're not a couple. You're not a pair. But if
you're friends with benefits,
I think she wanted me to probably clean up my act and be a nice, wholesome boyfriend. And I was, I thought she was a great girl, but I still wanted to, you know, be out at 3:15 a.m. I don't know why. She was a great girl, but I think that rubbed him the wrong way that he offered to buy her a drink, and she had no interest in him because she was like, no, I'm with Dan. I'm on Dan time.
I'm on Dan time.
Yeah.
And who was this ball player? What was his name?
Bobby Jenks. He pitched in the White Sox organization, and
he was a beefy guy. He was like 6'5", yeah, about 260.
He was a closer. He was actually one of the first guys that could top 100 miles an hour on the radar gun. He got recorded the last out, the last strike in the 2005 World Series against the Astros.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's a few years later, and yeah, he's just down in Birmingham rehabbing. I forget what the injury was. But
yeah, you and I were at that place 3 o'clock in the morning because we got out late, and we both lived in the area in Crustacean, and it was karaoke night.
Did they serve food? I never ate any of the food there, but that sounds like they had.
It's called Crustacean. I'm not going to eat any of it. but this guy, Bobby Jenks, he's the size of an offensive guard in the NFL. Me and Dan are talking in the parking lot, and he just jacked you up.
He came out of the side view, and I was talking to, I won't mention her name, but was saying goodnight or something, and he just comes out of my peripheral and just gives a train collision shove to me, and I go,
really?
Fly. Yeah. Now, earlier in the night, one thing I remember asking him, because Derek Lee was pretty big with the Cubs at the time, and I said, do you think you could strike out D. Lee?
Yeah,
and
there
he
kinda
was like, well, what kind of question is that? Knowing me, like, I really, like, that's just a fun, lighthearted.
He probably doesn't eat. You know baseball. I don't think Bobby Jenks even knew who Derek Lee was.
Back then, I don't know how many times the Cubs and White Sox, they always play once a year, but I don't know if they did a series that counted back then. Jack's key fob.
Good times.
That would be Craig's ride.
Is it an ambulance?
Yes.
But look, I want to make it clear here that was 16 years ago. I don't harbor any ill feelings toward the man. At the time, I thought, who is this? I mean, yeah, he's a big league ball player, but what a hothead. Why did he do that?
He had everything. He had everything.
And he thought he was going to have your girl, too. And that didn't happen.
So I think that
she was on Dan time.
Yeah. I think Jack Daniels probably had a lot to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking to a couple of the guys from the Barons, and they were like, yeah, they played in Montgomery that evening, and I think he was either hitting a pint or a handle of Jack or something riding back up to Birmingham.
One of the guys on the team I was talking to, and he was like, this guy's a D-bag, man. He just, he's like, he's a major leaguer. He's got the money. And he treats us all like crap, like he's so much better than us.
Yeah.
And then through the rest of the night,
showed himself. And at 3:15 with Jack Daniels, right, Craig? Nothing goes good.
No, it was late. I shouldn't have been there. And one of the reasons I bring it up is because I often think back on that summer, and there were some opportunities that I had when the main beat writer for the Barons was taking a night off or a few nights off, and I got to go out and cover some Barons games.
Yeah, you went
out.
Yeah.
Loved it. Got, you know, interviewed the players, the coaches, and I did that about four, maybe five times.
Well, that's what you did. You took it seriously. Like, you wanted to do that. And that's, I always respect that. Like, and I know Tom did. I know David Knox did. I know Charles did. Because some people are like, oh, I got to go cover this team. No, You relished it. That was great.
I wasn't really.
I love seeing your name in there, Dan McArdle.
The first game, I got back and looked at it, and I still don't like the way I wrote it, but, you know, whatever. But after that incident at the bar, I talked to TA about it. I don't know why I brought it up or how we discussed it, but I wasn't going to be assigned any more ball games after that, so. That would have been July, August. So
that was 16 years ago?
Yeah.
And now look at you.
I know.
You got the best, one of the best podcasts out there. Dan time, baby.
Dan, you got to get Bobby on.
Hey, this is an open invitation. Bobby, if you catch wind of this, if somebody says, hey, there's this guy talking trash about you on Dan time, Bobby.
No, hey, we're not talking trash. We witnessed it. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Come on, Bobby.
You know what? I may actually reach out to him and just see where it goes. It's good content, you know? I mean, people want to hear this stuff. It didn't happen yesterday. It happened a lifetime ago.
Probably between my age and your age, right? He's probably mid-40s.
And you're reaching out to which guy?
Well, and
who are you going to reach out to?
Jinx, Bobby Jinx.
You think he's still alive?
Yeah. I think he's still involved in baseball. I don't know what organization, but I think he's out there.
Thank God for Google.
But I wanted to. Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time talking about my stories. I want to focus on you guys.
It's always a great time with you, Dan. But we are doing episode 121 of the Peekskill Mugs. It comes on YouTube. All lowercase Peekskill Mugs. We're going to do it next Thursday. Right here at the Peekskill Public, and we're having two billiards players because they're opening up a pool hall up in Somers, New York. So we're going to be doing it on the pool table. Well, we're not going to be doing it on
the pool table. That's a
and we're going to be talking about them opening up their new pool hall in Somers, New York, as they're playing pool. So that's episode 121 coming up on the Peekskill Mugs. Hope you guys can follow us.
Yeah.
Check it out, folks. Peekskill Mugs.
What do you got going on this weekend?
This weekend, you know, when it's late October and you've got a wife and children and it's Saturday, you know that the wife wants to go to something fall harvest related.
Sure.
Pumpkin patch related.
You're definitely carving a jack-o'-lantern this weekend.
Hey, Craig.
There's a leaf or two involved.
I always wondered about this, Craig. Like, when you get down to the World Series, and a lot of times there'll be like a game 4 or 5 that's actually on Halloween night. There have to be a lot of couples that argue about, like, all of a sudden, those worlds collide where hey, honey, we got plans. I don't care about your ball game. Like, we're supposed to go over to Steve and Sandra's house for this or that, and you're telling me you got a
costume party.
It has got to create some problems.
And then you have to wear a costume that you don't want to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to miss a lot of stuff, or I go back later and I record it and watch it later. But the World Series, I'd really try to slip away and watch that.
So game one's on tonight.
Yeah.
Game two on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Then it's travel day.
Yeah. So I think it's two. Yeah. I don't know what the breakdown is.
So
two,
it's
3-2 or 2-2-1-1-1. I don't know.
So it's it'd be two out in LA, 3 in New York, and if needed, 2 more out in LA. Halloween's free. You know why your Halloween's free? Because the Yankees are winning it in 4 straight games. You can go out trick-or-treating, Dan.
All right, so for the record, I'm predicting the Dodgers in 7. But when I
are you?
Yeah, but when
you
I...
You know I'm writing this down.
Anytime I make predictions, that usually means if I say Dodgers in 7, it's going to be Yankees in 5.
I'm a homer, so Yankees in 7.
And I was just kidding about the 4 straight. I'm going to say Yankees in 5.
Oh.
Jack, I like the 5 prediction. A lot of people shy away from it because they think, well, surely it's going to be more competitive than this because that's
mm-hmm.
But I like it. I think I think this series, you want it to be storybook and go the distance 7 games, but I think there could be one of these two teams that just figures out the other meat of the order a little bit better.
I totally agree.
I mean, Shohei is something like 1-for-20-something with, is it nobody on or runners on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with runners on, you get him. He'll hit home runs till the cows come home.
It's one of those two. I think it, maybe with nobody on base.
Yeah, when nobody's on base, he crushes it.
Right. Craig, I got a random Dan time question here for you.
All right.
Favorite Craig out of these players? Craig Biggio, Craig Kimbrell, Craig Graybeck, or Cubs manager Craig Counsell? Which of the Craigs are you more?
I'm going Biggio.
Love it.
I like the way he played.
You missed the old
because he didn't know the other three guys.
I knew Counsell.
Jack, were you a fan, Jack, of Jack Morris in the 91 World Series?
Great pitcher.
Yep.
And any other Jacks out there for baseball?
What about football? Jack Youngblood?
Jack Youngblood, yep. He was with the Rams, defensive back.
Jack Ham?
Jack Ham. He was a wide receiver from the LA.
Jack Baloney?
Yep. And would you just say Jack Baloney?
Who's Jack Baloney?
I have no idea.
How about
whose name is Jack Ham?
Jack Clark, MLB.
Oh, Jack Clark. Yeah. St. Louis Cardinals?
He was a Yankee for a little bit too.
Yeah.
He was a big guy, hit home runs, struck out a lot. DH.
I kind of like my last name with Spencer. I kind of like the Spencers on the Yankees.
James Spencer?
Oh, yeah, there we
James
go.
James Spencer and the James other kid. Spencer. Yes. Yep, I'm going with the last name.
The Robert Saleh situation in Green Bay, this is, you know, he and LaFleur are friends going back to their college days. They were roommates when they were graduate assistants, Central Michigan. What's happening here? Is he getting paid? Is Saleh just like, hey, I'm going to be in town. I'll just hang out with you guys and give you some feedback.
Right. So what I gather from it, he's getting paid $130,000 a week from the Jets to just sit at home with his wife and seven children.
He's looking for a way out of the house.
He's like, I'm moving, honey, I'm moving from Bayonne, New Jersey to Green Bay. But so they called it a fluid situation, whatever that is. But I think he's going to be with the offense telling them how to beat his defense. So it's kind of like kind of like Belichick. He's like, yeah, I'm a defensive guy, but I'm going to tell the offense how to beat me. So we'll see. I knew he was going to get it. His phone was ringing. They fired him at 9 o'clock in the morning. 9:05, his phone was blown off.
He's going to be a DC or a head coach in 2025.
You take some time off for being a head coach. Defensive coordinator, for sure. And he's going to be awesome at it.
How would you like to get the axe, but then you also have a paycheck with about 10 zeros on it hitting your account every Friday?
There's got to be something in the contract that says if he gets hired somewhere else, the Jets aren't on the hook for it. You know, if he takes another
job. Yeah, but didn't he already get rehired somewhere?
Packers.
Well,
he's back with his old buddy from the college days when they coached together.
And then
I think he was the best man at his wedding, or vice versa, or something like that.
I saw that Matt LaFleur's brother Mike was the Jets' offensive coordinator a few seasons ago.
He didn't last long. They gave up on him too. We had Zach Wilson as the quarterback. This team killed me.
Craig and Jack, if you're listening, I remember when Craig had a great affinity for Kellen Clemens, and I think at one time Kellen was the screensaver or the desktop theme.
Really?
On Craig's.
What was it?
Wasn't that like 08 or 07? Remember Kellen and it was part of like the Jets background on your.
I just snorted.
Did he?
So Dan, you
Callen got some action.
You were just talking. You were just talking about the guy that got fired from the Jets, right?
Yeah.
And I cannot pronounce his name. Or nor am I going to try.
Robert Saleh.
Yes. So he gets $134,000 a week for not coaching for 2 years.
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, there's got to be a clause in there. If he signs on after this season as the Packers defensive coordinator, the Jets probably don't have to pay that, you know.
Maybe. Didn't the Mets have to play that one dude? Who was the Met player? Who was the Met player that they had to pay? Bobby Bonilla.
Well,
I think they're still paying him.
Ohtani? Yeah. Mookie Betts is going to get paid $14 million a year until he's 48 years old. It's
genius.
All that deferred payment thing.
That's a good
Sean
gig
McDonald's
if you
can do that. Same plan. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good gig. If you can get that gig making that kind of money and not working, that's pretty good.
Chase your dreams.
Well, guys,
are we going to land this plane?
I'm still trying to circle in the air and find a reason not to land just yet. I got all these rabbit hole questions.
Okay,
I'd love
good.
To keep diving down with
whatever.
You guys. But
ready to leave?
The bartender, Danik, just keeps on bringing me beers, so I'm cool.
On the first conversation that I had with you guys,
yes,
I referred to Jack as the anchor of the Peekskill Mugs. And
you mean the one we want to throw off the boat and let him sink to the bottom?
or the one that comes prepared.
Oh, fuck you. Sorry.
But by saying that, I was thinking, you know, I feel like I'm undermining Craig's large
Craig's a genius
presence. It's like without Craig, there is no Peekskill Mugs. And
exactly.
I don't think I asked you guys on the first episode how it exactly came to be. Were you sitting around talking and thought, guys, this is an entertaining conversation. Why don't we just record it and see what happens?
All right. November 2019. I'm sitting in the bar. We're sitting at it right now. And I'm talking to a lifelong friend. He grew up with my brother, Sean. And I said, I want to do a podcast. And Guy Ronnie, who owns the building, he's like, yes, let's do that. Let's do this. Let's do that. Then the pandemic hit. So Jack and I started talking about it again. And Phil and our buddy Brian. And we were like, let's talk about sports. And after about, 8 months, we ended up at the Peekskill Brewery. One of our favorite spots that unfortunately is not in operation anymore. But what was it, Jack? September, October?
It was October of 2020.
And then we did a lot of fun things. Now it's, you know, we just kind of, me, him, and TW kind of BS, and we'll bring guests in when we can. But we kind of got away from the sports. We used to, it was mostly sports all the time.
Yeah.
And then we just said, you know what? We have our thing called the Mount Rushmore. We'll come up with a topic. It could be one of the four best series of all time.
Yep. Like our next episode, episode 121 on YouTube, Peekskill Mugs, is from the Peekskill Public House, and it's on Halloween. So we're probably going to talk about our favorite candy.
You can't go wrong.
You want to come on? Why don't you send us a message, and I'll say, "Oh, Dan, Dan, time."
You know, we can put.
He likes candy corn and what? Don't like candy corn.
Oh, me?
No one likes candy corn.
So I've got candy that when I go to the movie theater, I always come back to. Like I don't deviate from. Like there's my movie theater favorites, but I don't eat that candy all the time. And one of them is Twizzlers. So I don't just like.
Yeah, that's definitely
go to the grocery store and come home with Twizzlers. I don't ever do that, but when I go to the movies, I eat them. I almost have to.
You know what? Yes. You know what? It's a quiet snack.
Yeah.
Like people, it is. Popcorn is such a popular movie. It's so loud. Everyone's like, oh.
Yeah. And Reese's Pieces.
They're also good.
I eat those at the movies, and that's
probably
it.
20 years.
Yep. Definitely.
Big fan of the Milk Duds were one of my favorites when I was a teenager.
Milk, yeah, that was Milk Duds.
Ripped the fillings out.
The little yellow box.
Yeah.
They were so good.
What was the one on side? Junior Mint?
Yes.
Why is it Junior? Why? Just Junior Mint. Is there a Senior Mint?
Speaking of the mugs and the evolution of the Peekskill mugs, I do want to say, I forget which episode number this is, but folks, if you go on YouTube, you can find it. You guys did one that was pretty cool where you're outside, it's nighttime, and you're like in the streets.
Yeah.
It's like a...
I forget what number that was. We were out on North Division. It's like, they call it Restaurant Row. There's like six or seven restaurants on the street, and they block the road off from traffic. So we just set up there one time and said, hey, let's go.
Yeah, there's like a band playing behind you. And then like some dude walks up behind Craig or Jack, and he's like...
The Irish dude?
Like photo bombs.
Ronan?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the name of that band was actually called the Bear Mountain Sound Machine. That was the good band. They no longer exist, but that was a good band, though. And they still do that down in Peekskill during the summer. A little chilly up here now, though, to be doing that out at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The weather's a little changed. Well, hence why we're doing the episodes inside now.
I got
it. He's literally like 3 feet away from me. We had to separate. That's why I keep looking over there. Cause I know it's on video, but.
All right. I got a question for Jack. Well, for both of you guys. I think this is unique to guys, and the ladies are just, I don't think they'll ever understand, certainly not my wife. There are articles of clothing that we keep around for years, and sometimes it you can't even explain it. Sometimes it's a pair of underwear that it has got to be completely, completely tattered from the elastic bands for you to say, all right, that's it, I'm throwing it away. I'm not ashamed to say that I've kept a few of those pairs long past their shelf life. And socks, now I will get rid of socks if a hole emerges on the bottom. That's it. I'm done. I'm not putting up with that anymore. But do you guys have like t-shirts or ball caps or something that nobody else likes, appreciates, but it's very special, and you don't wear it all the time, but you bring it out from time to time.
I have a Fredonia University, State University, sweatshirt.
That thing is ragged.
It's ragged, and it's been washed because my daughter graduated there, like 9 years ago, and I had it since she was a freshman. So we're looking at 13 years ago.
Wow.
And I wear it out all the time. Don't give a fuck. Who cares? It's one of my favorite sweatshirts. I wear it out when we play darts on Tuesday. And yeah, it definitely the Fredonia State University sweatshirt and the pair of gray underwear that I'm wearing now that's pretty ragged.
Yikes. You're way too close to me. Go sit over there. I'm a t-shirt guy. I have hundreds. I love to buy Hanes pocket tee, short sleeve, solid color.
Yeah.
And I had a black one. The hole was here. It kept getting bigger, bigger, bigger. And then somebody finally called me out on it. And I said to her, I was like, I've had this 14 years. I'm not going to throw it away. It's like, you just can't wear it anymore. The next morning, threw it away.
Oh. No way.
And I think about it all the time.
You gave in?
Craig.
It was repulsive. This whole, like, my...
Who cares?
Hanging out, like, deodorant stains on it.
Dan's wearing ragged underwear. You feel this way? Come on.
I'm going to order some Hanes t-shirts tonight, actually, from Amazon.
So...
What do you got?
I can relate.
I understand what you're saying about the socks, too. Plug it. The socks, if they get on the heel or on the bottom of the heel, you got to go.
Yeah. But I think every guy, maybe not, but I always have these emergency backups, kind of like a wide receiver that is the emergency quarterback in the worst case situation where you just, you're like, where did all of my underwear go? And it's like, you got to call on old, that old.
Reliable.
Old reliable and say, you're getting in the game today, old buddy. I know it's been 3 years, but I can't find any clean ones. Here we go. No one's going to see it. Yeah, so, but T-shirts.
No one's going to see it.
I think with T-shirts, like you said, either the pit, the stitching either pops loose over time, or it gets kind of that hard, that hardened crust around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know how to fix that? You just heat the iron real good, and then put the iron to it, and that crusty stain goes away.
Yeah. Dan,
but I got ball caps. I'm not wearing one today, but I actually have an old Birmingham Barons hat that I wear sometimes, and that's like
nice.
Probably 13 years old. I've got an Alabama hat that is just gray and white. It's not crimson.
Like up on the, like,
15 years old.
The brim, it's just gray.
Yeah. Hats, yeah, like some of the old hats, and Craig, you said this Yankees hat when you had the long hair, the long mop. And, you know, in the heyday, you'll get to a point with a hat where you're like, okay, if I'm smelling this, it's enough. It's time to put this on the shelf. Because that means that whatever I'm smelling is 10 times worse. And but if you put it on the shelf for a period of years, then that funk kind of subsides and you can bring it back just by...
It crustifies, though.
Inactivity.
Like the brim. And then you see, like, how does the sweat, like, pour down to the front of the brim? It happens, though.
I do miss in baseball. Remember, like, when we were kids and ball players, they didn't care so much about the hat and the salt around,
mm-hmm. around the sweat hat. Stains.
Yeah, and then you don't really see that much anymore. I think they take care of it for TV. They don't want to go back out there with the salt.
I think so, too. Did you know what Babe Ruth used to wear underneath his hat?
I knew you were going to go there. I was going to say, Jack, tell him about how to keep cool in the summer.
How to keep cool in the summer. Babe Ruth, he put a lettuce leaf underneath his hat to keep cool.
Is that right?
Another true story.
We did that one episode. Jack put the lettuce, I put bacon, and Bill put tomato. We had a good lunch.
Underneath my hat. That's another episode of the Pigskull Mugs that you guys can catch on YouTube.
This guy.
All right. How about a big finish here? I guess this is a big finish, but I learned on the most recent episode, I always knew that Craig was a star receiver for the Mammoths at Amherst. And
he was.
Just lighting up the scoreboard.
I was Lord Jeff. They changed the name.
Oh, that's right.
Apparently, Lord Jeffrey Amherst gave smallpox blankets to Native Americans, killed them all. And then they were like, wait, we can't have this associated with us. That's what happened.
But
it's Craig, a true story.
It is true.
Craig, you wore number 19 in high school and college?
Yes.
Did you draw any attention from, did you go to any training camps or as an undrafted free agent just to fetch interest and show up with your bag and your helmet? And
I had 20 concussions during my career. I was done. I've already got CTE. I'm freaking. No, I didn't. Who was your favorite number 19?
Oh, God.
Dave Rigetti.
That's what I was going to say.
Nice.
Johnny Unitas.
Adam Thielen.
These are all number 19s?
I think so.
Yes.
What number was Tony Gwynn? 9? Damn. Yeah,
Tony Gwynn, gone too soon.
Look up Tony. If you go to Google, do Tony Gwynn stats, your mind's going to be blown.
Didn't he? All, he nearly.
I know
hit.
You know baseball more than most people know. But I would like to have a conversation with you about Tony Gwynn and Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
Your mind's going to be blown.
Was Tony Gwynn one of the closest guys, or it was like Tony Gwynn or George Brett that nearly got to 400? I think it was Brown.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn hit 390. I think Jordan Gray hit 391. Didn't John Olerud hit like 388 one year?
Tony Gwynn, 394 in 1994.
Wow, that's amazing.
He had like 10 home runs and 130 RBIs. He just put the ball in play.
Mm. Love that time period and some of those characters.
Yep.
It was good. But who's ready for some baseball? I am.
Dude, what now? Oh, I'm ready for tonight.
2 hours away. Yep. It should be exciting. I love these, you know, seven-game series, World Series. If you lose tonight, if the Yankees lose tonight, is there any panic mode? Or are you just thinking, well, let's just get a split. We'll go back home, and I'm not worried about it.
Well, if Gerrit Cole looks like crap, then maybe. Because he's starting game one, I think. He's pitching tonight.
Yeah.
He does.
And who's picking? Who's the guy? Jack Whitaker or Jack something?
Jack Flaherty.
Flaherty.
That old Chris and Farley reference, I think.
Yes, he's a
Tommy
he's
boy. A, no, yeah, talk with the black sheep. Yeah. Black sheep.
Boy, did we? Oh, man. We just went to another. Yeah.
40 something going on.
Another level.
14.
Yep.
You never ate. Jack, yes. Do you ever really get. I guess some guys do, but I laugh at farts. I mean, I just laugh at the same stuff that I did when I was 12.
Oh, absolutely. I'm still 12. Yeah. I'm 63 years old, but I'm still 12. Without a doubt. You know who actually does that for me? Is Craig Bennett.
Craig? Oh, I believe that.
He keeps me young.
You're getting me older, you fuck. Sorry, I said the F word again.
That's all right. No, I agree. I believe
you're
it,
only,
Jack.
What, hell are you?
Oh, me?
No, Dan, can I guess your age?
Yeah.
Dan, I'm thinking you are 46.
Close, 45.
45.
Wow. Child.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, I need a beer. I need a beer. I'm going to land this plane on my end. You guys can end it on your end. But I want to thank you, Dan, for Dan time, baby. This has been fabulous.
I enjoyed every minute of it, Jack.
Yep. Jack only, there are 26 letters in the alphabet. Jack knows 18 of them.
Jack, do you have a...
How do you spell that? F-A-B-A-L-S.
Fabulous.
Do you have a jack-o'-lantern on your front porch?
I do. Yep.
He's scared of Halloween. He likes to scare the kids. Right.
I do. Actually, Halloween's one of my favorite holidays. I got engaged on Halloween. Halloween, beautiful. October 31st, 1991. No, 92. Whoops. A long fucking time ago.
All right. Well, we could go on and on, but let's plan another episode in.
Yeah.
I like this month. We should do a monthly thing. We'll just check in with each other.
Once a month.
And then we can get you on ours. We do yours. I like this.
We can bring Dan on with Zoom. We can do that.
Yeah. It would be nice for me to be a guest sometime where I don't have to steer the ship.
That's right. And you do it so well.
You might have to. You do it really well because none of our crew can steer the ship. Trust me. I'm like the guy who drove the Titanic.
Yeah. Okay. Iceberg. Dan, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, you guys. If you made it this far in the episode, you heard all the toilet humor that you can handle. And there'll be much more to come on another episode of Dan Time with the Peekskill Mugs, hopefully next month. This is a great diversion for me and hopefully for you guys watching and listening as well.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. You guys have a great week, and thanks for listening to the Dan Time Podcast. Go have some fun out there, and
roll tide, roll.
Roll tide, roll.
All right, guys.
Go Yankees.
Take care, Jack.
Later, Dan. Thank you, man.
See you, Craig.
Later.